Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents For Whom the Smell Tolls by Renee George. Narrated by Margaret Strom. Chapter 1.
I've made a decision, Nora. You're not going to like it, but I really need you to be okay with it.
Jilly Martin, my best friend in the world, hit me with her most earnest gaze.
I hope I'll have your support.
It was 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and we were finishing the closing cleanup of Sense and Sensibility, my spa boutique in Garden Cove. Since I'd added the massage component, Jilly's part of the business, the sales of our lotions, massage oils, and soaps had doubled. I shook my head. Please don't tell me you're pregnant, I said teasingly, as I wiped the inside of the front door. But the darkening in Jilly's brown eyes made me gasp.
You're pregnant? How? Why?
I asked, appalled at the idea. For the love of Pete, you're 51 years old, Jilly and Judith Martin. You have 2 teenagers getting ready to start their senior year. Why would you want to start over? Jilly's frown deepened for a second. Then her lip began to tremble. Was she going to cry?
I'm sorry, I said quickly. Of course I support you. I'm here for you no matter what.
A choking sound bubbled from her lips as she turned away from me.
Please don't cry.
I was a terrible BFF. Jilly needed my understanding, my patience, my love, not my judgment.
I'll even take those awful Bradley childbirth breathing classes with you if you want.
Now she was in a full-on sob. Or at least I thought.
Are you laughing?
Nora, you are so gullible.
She slapped the counter and wheezed.
I can't catch my breath.
Her laughter verged on hysteria. I was not amused. You're a butthead, I informed her with a raised brow.
I never said I was pregnant, Jilly answered. But your assumption is hilarious. You should have seen your face.
Her whole body shook with laughter, and she literally slapped her knee.
Priceless.
I rolled my eyes. Fine. Fine. I put down the Windex bottle. Why do you need my support? She straightened, suddenly sobered, and with calm measure she declared,
I've decided to grow out the gray in my hair.
No! This was far worse than a whoops baby in my book.
I took a few slow, deep breaths, then summoned my strength.
That's so amazingly great.
I stared at her chestnut brown hair. It was pulled back into a braid, which was the way she liked to wear it when she worked. I could see the rich brown of her hairline, which meant she'd colored it recently.
I'm here for you. Totally,
I added.
It's a good thing you don't make a living as a spy, because you're saying one thing, but your face,
she circled her finger at me, is telling me a whole nother story. The idea of watching Jilly grow gray was like watching my own mortality. I wasn't sure I was ready for it.
When did you decide this? Been thinking about it for a while now. The gray is growing out faster than every 6 weeks. I have to do touch-ups at home every couple of weeks, now in between trips to the salon.
I do my own color. It's not that big of a deal. I can teach you. She placed her hands on her rounded hips.
I'm going gray, Nora. And that's the end of this conversation.
I winced. It's your life. It was Jilly's turn to roll her eyes.
It's my hair, not my life.
I raised my brows, but left it at that. Can you believe Pippa is learning how to drive a motorcycle? I asked, changing the subject.
She's going to break her flippin' neck,
Jilly exclaimed. Jilly had been ranting about Pippa's decision for a week now, so I knew the redirection would work.
Just because her biker barista rides doesn't mean she has to do it. I mean, she's younger than us, but she's still no spring chicken.
I looked around as if our 30-something friend might overhear Jilly's complaints, even though I knew Pippa was spending time with her guy on this lovely Wednesday afternoon. This was her only chance for time off, considering we were 2 days away from Memorial Day weekend, one of the biggest tourism weekends of the year. Pippa will be fine, I reassured Jilly, even though I wasn't exactly convinced myself.
I wish I had futuristic visions instead of seeing past memories. I'd feel a lot safer knowing that Pippa would be safe on that crotch rocket.
There are no guarantees in life, I said, and the only way to stop Pippa from riding a motorcycle is to hog-tie her, then lock her in your basement until the end of time.
Works for me,
muttered Jilly.
When's the last time you smelled her?
Oh, for the love of Pete's Pits. I'd had enough of being forced to sniff my friends. After dying for 27 seconds during my hysterectomy, I'd woken up with a nose that could literally smell trouble. At least if that trouble was contained in the memories of other people. It seemed to work as long as the odor evoked strong emotions, so the visions weren't all bad, thank heavens. The first several weeks after finding out about my new smell-o-vision gift, Jilly and Pippa had constantly made me smell them, like all day, every day, to test my ability. As a result, I now knew way more about my two closest gal pals than I wanted to or should. I was so happy when the shiny newness of my ability finally wore off and they stopped shoving their wrists under my nose. Jordy will make sure she's safe, I said. I'd given Jordy Hines, the tattooed owner of Moolah Lattes and Pippa's new beau, a lecture about Pippa wearing a helmet and pads at all times that served as a not-so-thinly-veiled threat. Pippa was like our younger sister, and we followed the sibling rule. We were allowed to torture her, but we'd junk-punch anyone else who hurt her.
Are we still on for dinner tonight?
Jilly asked. Of course we are. My BFF had been a little lost this past week because her ex-husband, Giovanni Rossi, had called a few weeks back and asked if the teen twins could fly out to Vegas to spend time with him. She'd never spent more than a night or two away from her dynamic duo, and their absence was taking its toll. Next summer, the twins would graduate high school and go off to college. I couldn't imagine what Jilly would be like without her children around for months at a time. It would probably feel like getting fired from motherhood. I'd made a standing date with her for every day the kids were gone, and since they still had one more day in Vegas, I was Jilly's for the night. She needed the company, and in all fairness, she'd done as much or more for me, especially when I dealt with the last harrowing months of my mother's terminal cancer. Jilly had been a rock for me, offering a safe space to break down when I felt overwhelmed. Jilly walked past me and gave me a hip bump.
I feel bad keeping you from Detective Hottie.
Ezra's been busy with work and such, I said. And such was actually Ezra's teenage son, Mason. The 16-year-old boy was staying with him while Ezra's ex-wife, Catty Portman, and her resort owner husband went on a 2-week vacation to the Bahamas. Ezra hadn't introduced me to his son yet, but also I hadn't asked for an introduction. I'd never had kids. Being the godmother of Jilly's teens was the closest I'd ever gotten to motherhood, and I was happy with my choice not to have had children. Still, a part of me would have liked Ezra to, at least, want me to meet his kid. I mean, while we hadn't exactly defined our relationship, we were more than just mattress buddies.
Is there trouble in paradise?
Jilly teased. When I didn't answer right away, Jilly narrowed her gaze.
You know I'm not serious, right? Are things okay between you and Easy?
Easy was Ezra's nickname, used by co-workers and friends. I called him Ezra. But I wasn't above teasing Mr. Easy like Sunday morning.
Ezra and I are awesome, I said, not wanting to delve too deeply into what might or might not be going on between Ezra and me.
Like I said, he's been busy as all. You know how it is with kids around.
Oh, that's right. He has his son. For how much longer?
Until next weekend.
I still can't believe Big Don let Roger go away over Memorial Weekend.
Donald Portman owned Portman's on the Lake, one of the big five resorts in Garden Cove. His son Roger managed the place for him, and 8 years ago Roger married Ezra's ex-wife, Catty. Ezra had relocated to the area to be closer to Mason. I hadn't been around then. My career had taken me to Chicago, but I'd grown up with Roger. He was a year older than Jilly and me, and he'd always been a showboat. I can't believe Big Don let Roger go on vacation at all, much less during the busiest tourist weekend of the year. I shrugged. Maybe the old coot was feeling generous.
Ha!
Jilly clucked her tongue.
Big Don doesn't have a generous bone in his body.
And believe me, I know.
The man wagged his ungenerous bone at me once when he'd stopped in for a massage at the Rose Palace.
I swallowed back a gag. That's disgusting.
I wish he was the worst person I'd ever run into at the Rose Palace.
Until recently, Jilly had been the spa manager at the Rose Palace Resort. That is, until Phil Williams, the jackhole who ran the resort, had fired her after she'd gotten arrested for a murder she didn't commit. Phil had been up to his filthy eyeballs in the death of Jilly's ex-boyfriend, Lloyd Briscoll. Unfortunately, the only person who could connect Phil to Lloyd's murder was the actual killer, Carl Grigsby, a dirty cop on Phil's payroll. He told me about Phil right before shooting me. The bullet had ripped through my leg, and I hadn't given him another chance to aim better. I beat him into a coma. My ex-husband, Sean, who happened to be the chief of police, had ordered police protection around the clock for the time being, just in case Phil got it in his head to take out the only witness to his connection to Lloyd. Sometimes I went to the hospital to sit with him. I'm not sure why. I didn't feel guilty for knocking his head in. It was him or me. Carl Grigsby had totally deserved it. But it wasn't justice. He needed to wake up so he could face the consequences of his actions for the arsons, the murder, and for shooting me.
I'm glad you're working here now, I told her. With me.
I put my arm around her shoulder. And you no longer have to deal with lecherous men looking for happy endings.
Jilly laughed. That's the God's truth.
She put away the last of the cleaning supplies in the utility closet.
Let's get out of here.
After turning off the lights, turning on the alarm, and locking the door, we separated on the sidewalk. Since early bird tourists were already in Garden Cove, parking spaces were scarce. Jilly had parked two blocks down in a public lot on the other side of Dolly's Dollhouse Emporium, but I'd gotten to work early enough to get a space one block over near the courthouse. I smiled when I saw a familiar face coming up the sidewalk.
Reese, how nice to see you.
Reese McKay, a young patrol officer, had been one of the cops on the scene the night I'd been shot, As a matter of fact, she'd been Carl Grigsby's unlucky partner. No one had been more shocked about Carl's seedy side than her. She smiled back and waved.
Hey, Nora. Nice day, huh?
She looked up at the clear blue sky and shielded her eyes from the sun before pivoting her gaze back to me.
I hope this keeps up for the weekend.
Same, I replied. I dug my keys from my purse. It's going to be a busy weekend.
Tell me about it, she sighed. I don't know who's worse, the drunk and rowdy tourists stirring up trouble or the small-time crooks in Garden Cove trying to rip them off. It's a nightmare.
She wore a pair of jeans and a butter-yellow tank top. Her strawberry blonde hair was down around her shoulders, and the wind kept whipping strands about her face. I jangled my keys. I don't want to keep you from your errands. Reese snorted as she pushed the offending hair away, and she looked back toward the courthouse.
I wish you were interrupting errands.
Is something wrong?
Always, she said, at least where my cousin Fiona is concerned. She had a court appearance this afternoon.
Since Reese had instigated the information, I didn't feel too much like a nosy Parker when I asked, anything serious?
Damn girl ran a red light, then blew a .15 on the breathalyzer. This one was 2.5 months ago. It's her second DUI in the past 12 months.
That's not good. Tell me about it.
Where's she at now?
Did they lock her up or something?
A blood alcohol over .15 carried a minimum jail time, along with fines and license suspension.
I only knew this because my dad, God rest his soul, used to be Garden Cove's police chief. Now my ex-husband, Sean Rafferty, was the guy in charge.
Nothing like that, though she'd probably be better off facing some real consequences. The prosecutor was an old friend of my Uncle Reagan. Reagan owns half the commercial real estate here in town, so the prosecutor cut Fiona a break. She's paying the fine right now, and her license has been suspended for a year. Plus, she has to attend AA meetings.
Sounds like she could use the meetings.
You don't get sober just because a judge orders it.
I detected the bitter tone of experience in her words.
I'll believe it when I see it.
Well, hopefully, this is a wake-up call for her. A young woman with thick auburn hair and a body that rivaled J-Lo's, including the curvy booty, trotted up behind Reese.
Hey, cuz, she said. Ready to go?
Reese rolled her eyes. Yep. She nodded toward me.
Nora Black, this is my cousin Fiona McKay.
Her eyes widened with delight.
Nora Black of Sense and Sensibility?
One and the same, I replied. Fiona scooted around Reese, threw open her arms, and hugged me. She had a wide, gold-toned cuff bracelet on her left wrist, and it dug into my back.
It's so nice to meet you, she gushed. I love your lotions.
She held her bangle-free wrist up to my face.
I'm wearing your blonde sandalwood and rosemary lotion right now. God, it's yummy.
It was yummy. It also triggered a vision.
Come on, sugar, Fiona said. Like all my scent-induced visions, I couldn't see her face. But her voice, her hair, and her body made it quite evident. This was her memory. You promised to give me a taste. A tall, thin man, wearing a western shirt, a bolo tie, jeans that bagged a little, and pointy-toed red and black cowboy boots, leaned his fuzzed-out face into hers. I heard some disgusting smacking of lips and tongues. After they finished kissing, the guy said,
I can't deny you anything, dumpling.
He reached into his pocket and pulled out a small vial of white powder.
I got your candy right here.
He opened the top and dabbed the drugs onto the meaty part of Fiona's hand. I caught a glimpse of a watch with a dark face and some gold lines.
Are you all right?
Fiona asked, alarmed. Hello?
Reese's Pieces? I think there's something wrong with your friend.
Reese stared at me expectantly.
Did you just...
I nodded. She was aware of my scratch-and-sniff psychic ability to tap into other people's memories. I tried to convey my horror at what I'd seen, but Reese shook her head.
Forget it. I don't want to know.
What? Asked Fiona, frowning as she looked from me to her cousin.
What are you guys talking about?
Nothing, said Reese. See you later, Nora. She grabbed her cousin by the arm and hauled her down the sidewalk and away from me. Reese hadn't wanted to know about the memory. Was it because she suspected her cousin was into more than booze? My heart broke a little for the both of them. Chapter 2. When I pulled into my driveway, I saw a familiar red truck parked on the street about 6 feet from my mailbox. My heart sped up as I turned off my car, undid my seatbelt, and got out. I met the green-eyed gaze of Ezra Holden, a.k.a. Detective Hottie. He stood on my porch wearing a black muscle-cut T-shirt, and damn if it didn't hug his wide chest and his large biceps in a way that made my non-existent ovaries weep. His jeans were a no-nonsense straight leg, relaxed fit. He wasn't the kind of man who wore skinny jeans, thank God. He crossed his arms and watched me put my keys in my purse before walking toward him. Considering he hadn't contacted me other than to text me some kind of bizarre dinner menu, I was surprised he'd shown up at my doorstep. And wow, did he look good. In fact, I was this close to changing my mind about him shimmying on a pair of skinny jeans. What are you doing here? I asked.
Don't tell me the romance is dead already, he said, half jest, half serious. I hoped you'd be glad to see me.
Of course I'm glad to see you. I glanced around. But I thought we were cooling it while your kid was staying with you.
What? I never said that,
Ezra replied. His lashes, several shades darker than his sandy brown hair, lowered at me. I recognized disappointment when I saw it.
I don't know what to think. It's been a week, I told him.
You haven't called or come by, and you only texted me once. I shrugged. And it wasn't like I was going to bring over a lollipop, eggplant, tacos, and fireworks. I'm not a grocery delivery service. He stared at me.
Nora, sweetheart, I was sexting you.
What? My eyes widened, and Ezra cracked his first smile since my arrival.
You know, sex plus text equals sext.
I'm not that old. I know what sexting is, I laughed. But next time you should use your words, because I thought you were sending me meal suggestions. He chuckled.
I was, he said, his voice low. Only you were the intended meal.
I felt heat rush to my cheeks. How is a lollipop sexting? I mean, I get the eggplant, I smirked, and the taco, but a lollipop? He pulled me into his arms and gave me a kiss that made my scalp buzz.
It means,
he said as he pulled back,
I want to lick you all over.
Oh! I blinked as my body reacted to his words.
Oh, boy. Are you planning on coming in?
I can't, he said. Like you said, it's been a week, and I wanted to see you, even if it was only for 5 minutes.
He sighed as he pressed his forehead to mine.
I've got to get home. I promised Mason I'd watch the game with him tonight.
Next time, call me, or regular text me, and I'll make sure I get off a little early.
And then we'll both get off.
I smacked his chest, just not too early.
He grinned. I'd love to take this conversation to a satisfying conclusion, but the baseball game starts in 30 minutes, and speaking of tacos, I have to pick some up on the way home from the taco shake shack for Mason and me. I can't be late for the game. This is the first time I've had him for this long, and I don't want to blow it with the boy.
I smiled, hiding my disappointment. I get it. Kid trumps, me. I almost said girlfriend, but we hadn't exactly gotten to the define the relationship stage. We'd been seeing each other regularly for a few months, but Ezra and I weren't flaunting the fact that we were dating. And by dating, I meant Ezra cooking dinner for me at my place before we watched a movie, or went upstairs for mind and body bending sex. We rarely went out. I wasn't sure if that was Ezra's doing or my own. His phone beeped.
That'll be Mason,
he said on a sigh. At least you're having fun, right? I asked. Lots of dad-son bonding and all that good stuff.
Most of the time. He likes to push it sometimes, but he's a good kid.
With you for a dad, I'm sure he is. I was rewarded with another kiss. He's probably easy peasy, I said, using Ezra's nickname as a way to tease him. He gave me a half smile.
I don't know, he said. Would you maybe want to meet him?
Cripes. Meeting the son. That was a big step. And yeah, okay, I'd been thinking about how Ezra hadn't invited me to meet Mason. But now that he had, I was instantly worried. What would Mason think of me? Would he think I was, gulp, too old for his dad? Sure. I finally replied, not sure at all. Set it up.
Really?
The relief in his voice didn't bring me any comfort.
I figured since you don't want children, I don't want to scare you off by moving too fast.
Just because I don't want kids of my own doesn't mean I avoid other people's children. What did he mean moving too fast for what? It wasn't like I was in any danger of becoming the boy's stepmother. I had no intention of marrying anyone ever again. I liked being happily unwed. Besides, teenagers are better than toddlers.
Oh, really?
Well, yeah. They can practically take care of themselves. I'm in no danger of changing diapers or singing annoying songs about buses or baby sharks. Ezra laughed.
That's fair.
His phone beeped again.
I better get going.
He let go of me and stepped back. If you decide you want to try that sexting thing again, maybe use actual words, I said. The eggplant is funny, but the taco is gross. What were the fireworks for?
The orgasm I plan to give you.
I grinned. You are very good at generating fireworks. He backed me up against the front door, his voice low and growly.
Keep talking like that, and Mason will be watching the game on his own.
And then he kissed me stupid. Mason did not watch the game on his own, because like the good person I am, I sent Ezra home to his son. I had jumped in the shower to get ready for dinner with Jilly, and was drying my hair when my phone chimed out a notification. I didn't want to mess up another sexting session with Ezra, so I reached for...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?